Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
From the over-the-top studios at Scratch Labs in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas, doing a Ram preview with Vic Armijo. Vic, always great to chat with you.
Good morning, George.
And I guess so people know we're not talking about sheep, Ram would be Race Across America 2016, correct?
The 35th annual.
So we've got quite the field this year, and we're going to break this preview up into a number of different shows, and today we're going to be starting with the solo field, men's and women's, for the Race Across America. Any favorites stand out to you this year?
Well, in the men's solo, we've got four different riders who've done in the neighborhood of a 9-day finish, Dave Hossie's best was 8 days, 22 hours, I believe. And then Mark Pattinson has also done very close to right at 9 days. Gerhard Gulwicks has done 8 days and change, just below 9 hours, or 9 days, I mean. And, who's the fourth? and Mark Obalo has done right around 9 days. And all four of these riders have had second place finishes, but none of these guys have ever won. In fact, this year we don't have any past Ram winners in the men's field, so it's going to be kind of wide open for one of these four guys, or maybe a newcomer, to be the first one to Annapolis. I don't think we've had a year like that in, well, at least 11 years I've been associated with directly with Ram.
Do you think it's going to make it a more interesting race this year? I mean, to me, Ram is always a very interesting race, but it's really going to change the kind of the tenor of the field.
We could come down to a sprint, you know. It could be a 3,000-mile match sprint, you know. I could see these four guys and possibly somebody we're not talking about being within a few hours of one another all the way across the country.
So are there some rookie riders that stand out to you in the men's field that are maybe dark horses?
As rookies, not really. And of course, I'm not up on every one of them. Michael Conti will be interesting. He's proven to have speed.
He won solo Race Across the West last year, correct?
Correct. So he's got the speed, but even at that, his Race Across the West finish was a ways off from the record that Danny Vies holds. But years are different. Sometimes direct comparisons don't really tell the whole story. And then, of course, we've got Stefan Schlegel coming back. He had a good rookie year. I think he finished somewhere around eighth or so his rookie year, which I believe was Ram 2011. He was back for 2014, and he had that horrific crash that was featured on the Ram videos on the very first day, where he got a flat front tire going down the glass elevator. I was right behind him in the media car when that happened. We were following Strasser, who he'd ridden up and down the glass elevator many times in the week prior, so he's he knows every rock and pebble on that. And he came up on Schlegel as we were following him, and Schlegel, seeing that Strasser was going so much faster, pulled over, let him pass, and when he pulled over, Schlegel went into a turnout where evidently he picked up a piece of glass or a pebble or something, and a couple of turns later, he just laid it down and hit the guardrail at a high rate of speed. I really thought we were going to be seeing an air evac, but he got up, his crew patched him up a bit, and within about 10 minutes of hitting the deck, he was back on his bike and finished that year.
And he was fourth place, wasn't he? He was quite a ways up there. He had a good ride.
He did. And, you know, he was having, of course, issues with the abrasions and muscle bruising and stuff the whole way across. So, yeah, to have done that in that condition is pretty amazing.
Now, there are some names I'm seeing in the field that stand out, people that coming back for multiple Ram finish. Morten Kjærsgaard from Denmark, very nice gentleman. Good to see him coming back.
I always enjoy visiting with him. He's just a nice, soft-spoken gentleman, as you say.
And Ricardo Arap, who I think has been involved with Rams since about 1998-99, somewhere in there.
Yeah, been a while. He was on one of the first two-rider teams. Another one of his Brazilian friends, a triathlete, they did a successful two-rider crossing. I think this is probably his third solo attempt. He hasn't had the best of luck as a solo, but I really hope he makes it this time. The Brazilians are always fun at the finish line, especially when they do well.
Have to bring up Sergei.
Sergei Zimin. Yeah, the Russian who rides his sort of recumbent thing, a titanium recumbent of his own design. He was let into Ram based on some of the adventures he's done, cycling adventures. He's crossed Australia a couple of times. He's been all over Asia. I think this is probably his fourth year in a row. He's yet to finish, but he always brings a contingent of Russian crew members, and they have a good time. I admire his spirit. He's, I think he's 72 or something like that.
That's amazing. Now, I do see... go ahead.
He always rides in SPD sandals. Looks very comfortable with his Lawrence of Arabia thing off the back of his helmet covering his neck and laid back on his lounge chair on wheels.
You've got a very strong 50-plus racer this year in the Ram Solo men's field, Ray Brown. I know it's his rookie year, but he is going to be – he's got the potential to put in a really strong ride.
Yeah. And like many of the Ram solos and teams, he's using his ride to raise funds for a good cause. He's working for breast cancer research.
And how about the women's field? Who really stands out to you there? Obviously, Shauna Hogan. But tell us about the other two.
Nicole Reist from Switzerland. I haven't had an interview with her yet. That's on my agenda to get one before we all meet in Oceanside. Team Juju, Juliana Buhn, is it?
Buhring.
Interesting story there. She's... another racer who's been let in based on her past accomplishments without having to do a Ram qualifier. She holds the Guinness World Book of Record for circumnavigating the globe. She did that a few years ago. She's also ridden across the U.S. a couple of times just on her own. She did the Transcontinental race where she won the women's field and placed fourth overall. That's sort of kind of a long Ram, but it's self-supported. You don't have follow cars and there's no time stations and things. You just follow the route and go, and you carry your water, your food, your panniers and everything like that. So she's done some different types of races, but she hasn't done anything that gives us an idea of her speed as compared to known Ram racers. I mean, she hasn't done any Ram qualifiers or something. So while she's confident and her people are expecting big things from her, she's kind of an unknown as far as where we come from or where, you know, we don't know how she'll do against Shauna, for instance. You know, Shauna, of course, is racing in the 50 to 59, not the under 50 like Juliana, but still, Shauna never goes to the start line without wanting to beat somebody.
I was going to say, I can't imagine Shauna just wanting to win her age division.
And of course, she wants to take the 50-plus record. That's something that's been on her mind since she was, well, since she left Ram some years back, that she would come back to take the 50-plus record, which is currently held by Kathy Roach Wallace. And last year, Shauna was well on track to break that record. She was probably going to break it by at least 24 hours, if not 36, when she ultimately pulled out with saddle sores. Interesting thing happened there. She already had called a DNF with saddle sores. Her crew was getting ready to head home. 24 hours passed, and she realized, you know, I'm feeling quite a bit better. And so she called headquarters, asked if she could re-enter the race. They let her in, and she continued on for the better part of a day, and then the pain came back, and the saddle sores are bothering her too much to want to continue. She since has developed new techniques for dealing with saddle sores and preventing them, and you know, she's what, 57, 58, and you know, she didn't hold back. She told me what's up. You know, she's postmenopausal, and you know, women of that age, their skin gets a bit thinned out, and so after all of these years of doing heavy miles, she suddenly was getting saddle sores when she hadn't had that be much of an issue previous. So, you know, you age, you adapt, and you learn.
Let's open it up to the whole field again. Valerio Zamboni, he's back for another finish, racing in the men's 60-plus. It's pretty amazing how that field has become so fast.
And good to see him back. You know, he was slated to race Ram last year, and about 2 weeks prior, he hit a pothole, crashed, broke several ribs. You know, spent Ram time in the hospital while watching the leaderboard and watching the Ram coverage when he would much rather have been out there doing it. He did make it out to the start. He was walking around very stiff and obviously in pain, but he did come out to the Ram start last year despite having, I think it was 8 broken ribs, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And another racer who crashed, who had been signed up to race, Stephen Berveling. Looks like he'll be out there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what's up with him. I just saw this morning on the Ram Ultra Cycling Forum that he's making the motorhome that he had reserved. He's making it available if somebody else wants to take it. So that tells me we might not be seeing him.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. He didn't. Somebody asked him on that forum, what's up? Are you not coming? And as of about a half hour ago, he hadn't answered that yet. So I hope maybe he has a crew member who's going to let them use their motorhome or something. But you got to wonder when he's giving up the motorhome he'd reserved.
Now, something that also really stood out to me about the field this year, you've got a few solo racers from India.
Yeah. It was great last year having the two rider team that finished. I don't think we've ever had a rider from India actually be credited with a finish. We have the one gentleman who tried a couple of years in a row. The first year he DNF'd early. I think he DNF'd in Arizona, and then the following year came back and missed the official cutoff time by a couple of hours. I remember we were still at City Dock, and they were starting to take things down when he and his crew rolled in.
Right. But I think this is the first time that there have been two solo racers from India in the same event, correct?
Yeah, and I hope we see one or both of them finish. It's going to be quite the celebration to be the first Indian rider to finish.
When does the race start?
This year it's June 14th for the solos and June 18th for the teams.
And the route, any changes that people should be aware of?
There's going to be a slight change in Arizona. The route won't be going through Oak Creek Canyon and Sedona. My understanding is it's going to not be the route that we used a couple of years ago, though, when we couldn't go through Oak Creek either. But sounds like it's going to be, while still scenic, it's going to be a bit more highway miles, which it's good and bad. I mean, it's sometimes easier. They tend to take flatter routes in the back roads, but of course, going through Oak Creek Canyon is always a beautiful thing. But other than that, it's going to be about the same. I think that slight change is going to change the mileage a little bit, where we've been right at 3,000 miles the last few years. I think it's going to be like 3,025 or something like that.
Okay, so it is going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And that's
if they're using the route that I'm assuming. P.J. Lingley, who lives in that area, he was telling me what route he thought would be best, and that it would add about 25 miles total.
So this is kind of the time of year where I think people doing Race Across America are kind of like, whoa, it seemed like it was so long ago, not that long ago, and now it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's always the feeling we get when we get to Oceanside. Didn't we just do this?
How do you get pumped up for RAM?
Oh, I'm pumped up for RAM around. You know, I do the social media for RAM 12 months out of the year, and so as riders are entering, it's always exciting for me to see a new name pop up. Somebody I know that I'm happy to see come back, or somebody new that I need to learn about.
Now, part of you got to be a little disappointed that Kristoff's not going to be here this year.
Yeah, very much so. But it was the right decision. To our listeners, he was hit by a car in a training accident back in September, and he badly damaged a shoulder, had some knee damage, and of course some soft tissue damage, and they took a piece of bone from his hip to repair the shoulder, and that's actually a shoulder he'd been having problems with for a while, so long term he's hoping that this will actually make that shoulder better. But he had thoughts of returning this year, was doing a lot of physical therapy, riding the stationary bike as much as he could. And it wasn't until just after the first of the year that he was finally able to get out on a real bike on the road. And it became apparent pretty quickly that trying to get into RAM shape in such a short span was just inviting, probably overstress injuries and the like. He needs to take his time. But he's still going to be very active this year. He's going to be doing the race around Austria that he won last year. He's going to go for the 24-hour velodrome record that's currently held by Marco Ballo, and he's going to do some of the other European ultra cycling events that have wanted him to participate in past years, but he really couldn't with RAM. So there's no dust going to be growing under his wheels, that's for sure. And the other rider that I really hope we could have seen again was Severin Zotter, last year's winner. What a fun guy to be around. He's another few weeks, he's going to be a daddy.
Yep.
So that kind of that'll change your calendar for the year in many ways.
Also sad not to see Isabel Pulver.
Yeah. I suspect we'll see her again. She had such an impressive finish. Other than a bit of edema, a little bit of facial swelling at the finish, she seemed like she didn't have any problems. I think there's a faster RAM in those legs if she can come back out soon and put all that knowledge gained as a rookie to work.
Thing you're most looking forward to this year, as far as the race goes?
Possible four rider, maybe even more battle that's going to be happening at the front of the men's under 50 field. I don't recall ever seeing such an evenly matched front of the field.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to doing a number of these with you in the weeks coming up, leading up to the race. And again, the race starts when?
On Tuesday, June 14 for the solos, and Saturday, June 18 for the teams.
Where can people go to find out more information?
RaceAcrossAmerica.org.
All right.
And find us on Facebook, too. There's something posted at least once a day about what's happening as people are getting ready for the race.
All right. Vic Armijo, thanks very much for joining us. From the Over the Top studios thanks. At Scratch Labs in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.